everyone, it's Karashni here, and today I'm talking to Alex, who is one of our developers. And we thought she has had such a fantastic year behind her, and she has such a fantastic future ahead of her that she would be an amazing person for us to chat to on our podcast.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Karashni.
And welcome to Building with Builders.
Our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry. And as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au. Alex, welcome, and thanks for coming on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to have a chat.
Now, Alex and I were just doing a little run through what we were going to talk about in the podcast before, and we've just decided to keep it casual. It's like we're just having a chat. So if you are listening to this podcast, welcome to the ride. It's the two of us just sitting on the couch having a good old yarn. Now, Alex, you had a really interesting and life-changing year behind you, or last year, really. Do you want to share a little bit about, you know, where you've come from and what you're doing, what your day-to-day is, and how you got into renovating and developing?
I work in HR and have for my sort of whole career, so human resources. So I love people, love dealing with people and working through things with people. And I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old now, so had some time off to have the babies, basically. Been back and forth in work there, but certainly that's kind of where my career has sat to date. So I've basically, my husband and I have renovated sort of our properties as we've gone through before we had kids. That was something that I'd always enjoyed doing. You know, any little jobs or tidbit things that I could get my hands stuck into, designing little bits of furniture, doing those sorts of makeover things. I love doing all of that sort of thing. And then certainly, you know, things around the house, that's what our weekends looked like before we had kids. We love doing that. So that's kind of where we sat before we had kids. And then the kids came along and time is not as available as it once was. That's my background. And we had always talked about wanting to do something a bit bigger where we, you know, designed and built or renovated a property to take to market and see how that fared. It's something that we, you know, I love working with my husband on these projects and, you know, it sort of seemed like the next step. He is a carpenter by trade, so I'm really lucky there. So I've sort of come up with the ideas and tend to sort of say, this is how it's going to look and you work out how it gets done. I learn a lot from him when I sort of say, this is what I'm going to have. And he goes, well, you've missed the sequence and that's not how it works and all of those fun things. So we work through that. But look, that's always been something that we've really wanted to do. And certainly since the kids came along, that felt a little bit more difficult in terms of having the available time and, you know, balancing family and our jobs and all of the rest of it.
I was just sort of wanting to understand a little bit maybe why that felt out of reach for you.
We both come from quite traditional families, like who have been in their house forever and it's a family home and that's really special. And that is something that both of us actually do hold quite true as well, I think. You know, being in a house and having a home, it's the home that I brought my kids home to. It's all of those sorts of things. And like home is really important for both of us and we feel really comfortable in it. And so the thought of sort of shifting out of that and having to sell our family home seemed really big to me and to Andrew as well. So that was really scary. It was always something we toyed with and sort of went, oh, you know, we could do it. And then it was always like, oh, but we won't have our house. And that was part of what felt really big about it, was having to let go of what we had traditionally thought was always going to be the case. Ideally, we'd sort of thought, we'll save up and we'll be able to do an investment and we'll be able to keep our house and that's all safe and easy. And we actually had an instance like the year before I became involved with Build Her, and we had a flood in our house and the floors were flooded everywhere. And so basically it was, the floors were having to be ripped up in one day and our kitchen was sort of ruined. And so we were basically flung into this situation where all our house was, you know, in disarray. And it was a point where I sort of looked at him and went, this is it. Like, we're going to do it. Like, the house is already a mess. We have to move out. Like, we're going to have to do this. Let's do the proper renovation of this house the way that we want to do it and see how it fits, because it's right here in our face, and let's have a go and see how that works. So we did that, and I think it just cemented for me that, you know, I loved doing it. I want to do it, and, you know, let's have a go at that. So we completed the renovation of that house, and I think that kind of tied in then with when I sort of became involved with the Build Her community and went along to my developer's course, the masterclass, and met a whole bunch of women, which I just sort of, a lot of them floored me. Like, I just went, wow, this is, you know, some of these people are amazing. You know, these people are actually doing these things that I've sort of mused about for years, and they've got families and, you know, they've got jobs and they've got all these things which I've sort of in my head said, oh, you know, these are the reasons why we shouldn't do this. So, you know, that was a real eye-opener for me, and actually being able to see how those women put that into their daily lives, and having people that I could sort of say, but guys, like, how does it work? You know, these are my worries. Like, how do you work through these? And actually have someone say, oh, well, this is how I do it. And that, I think, was like a real eye-opener and a sort of a aha moment to go, well, I can sit here and continue to sort of say, I'd love to have done that and I should have done that in, you know, be 5 years down the track, and I know I'd still have that same urge and inkling, but not having actually done it. And there's never a perfect time, I think, is the other thing which I was able to sort of get my head around. Like, there's always something in life, and you don't know what life's going to throw you tomorrow. And if it's something that's important and, you know, in your gut's the right thing to do, then, you know, I need to start to take some steps towards that potentially and work out, you know, how that looks for me. And
I think that's a pretty brave place to come from. You know, you said a couple of really interesting things, and I think I might just touch on them a bit, because I think that a lot of people feel the same way about a lot of things. But so, for example, when you had the insurance or the flood damage to your home and you've had to go through probably an insurance claim, that's really challenging and overwhelming process in itself. Most people would just stop there. To add on to that and to have the forward planning and the future thinking that, hey, this is actually not a problem. It's an opportunity, that one that we can really capitalize on, and one that we can go, well, let's use this as a platform. Because if you hadn't have done that, you actually would be in the same position that you are or you were a year ago, where you would have done an insurance repair or a like-for-like replacement, which is what most people are insured for, which doesn't often give you the opportunity to improve your space. And by looking through your cell photos, I can see what a creative touch you've been able to pop on your home through your own design ideas and probably a bit of Andrew's technical insight as well. But you've really created value and brought value to your home. I actually just want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've given yourself enough credit about that. Like, it's a really hard thing to do. The next thing that I thought you said that was really interesting was, you know, having an aha moment and realizing you're having an aha moment.
Yeah.
A lot of people, we get scared over a lot of things, but it's safety, and it's our safety net, and selling your family home feels like it's selling your security.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, taking that aha moment and going, okay, well, this is my tangible action. And Rebecca and I, we just had a weekend intensive last weekend, or was it the weekend before? I can't remember, where we met with a few women. And one of the big takeaways that we were having from that was, you know, what are your tangible actions that you can do in the next, is it in the next week? Is it in the next 4 weeks? Is it in the next 6 months? But what is a tangible action that you need to do to get you moving in the right direction? And that was something that everyone really worked really hard on. And I think that hopefully what came away from you in the February weekend intensive that you came to last year was hopefully a tangible action. And I think it might have been to make this or to take this step.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, for me coming away from that, I think it was also like, it was like, I'm going to take an action, and I've got sort of a map or something that I can start to work towards. And certainly for me, you know, what I'd initially thought back then is different a bit now, because I had some life changes. We were given an opportunity to move. So that's all shifted as well a little bit. But it's, I think, having that space to consider what that was and actually think broadly, so that when things did change a little bit, it didn't throw me off to go, oh, no, 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 like I'm out, this is too much. It was enough for me to sort of say, no, I feel confident in the thought that I've given to these things and the steps that I've already taken, and I can shift with this, and it's another opportunity potentially.
So walk us through what that journey looks like for you. So you've got the house that your family home in Canberra, which you sold. Do you want to talk us through how that did and then what you've done since then?
Basically, a couple of things, as I said, opportunities that came forward for us where, you know, ideally what I'd still been thinking was that we would look at another investment property that I would develop and keep the house. But we were offered an opportunity to move with my husband's work, which we had also had that opportunity about 2 years earlier before, and we'd rented the house out and come back, and, you know, we were now a couple of years down the track. So again, it was another space of like, we can rent the house out and that's easy and that's safe. But we did that last time and we're still no further forward. So again, I think it was having the knowledge in the community and feeling confident in what I was trying to work towards, I was able to go, nah, this is what is going to happen here. Like, we need to sell the house now. Like, this is all lining up to allow us to make our steps to move ourselves forward in terms of what we want to achieve. So we decided to put the house in the market, and it was, I think it was sort of 2 weeks after the markets had sort of just reopened in Canberra, so in the thick of COVID, the first wave. So it was pretty scary. We went through that process and it went exceptionally well. Like, we were blown away by the reception. We had, I think, over 100 groups through the first open house, and that, again, was in the thick of COVID. So it was sort of this community, like, oh my God, this house with all of these people coming through. The agent he didn't know what to do with himself, trying to adhere to what he needed to. So,
and there's a whole lot of rules that he was trying to work around.
Yeah, that's right. And he's going, oh gosh, yeah, like, I need to get this right. So so that was sort of amazing. That blew us away. And he was saying auction, it's got to be auction. Auction seemed really scary to me. Again, it was that, oh my gosh, it's a bit out of my control. I don't know how this is going to play out. But he sort of coached us through that. He was really good at communicating that with us. And we had a number of buyers who were really interested. People wanting to lock houses away at this stage, because there was a bunch of people, I think for us, that were sort of looking, who had sold their properties and then COVID had hit and the market had sort of closed down. So they were all really worried, going, we need to buy a house because we've sold ours, we've got nothing to move into. So it was great timing for us as well. And we ended up having a really successful auction and got well above what we'd expected for the reserve, and, you know, got quite a bit of media coverage and things that I just did not expect at all. So that was a whirlwind, super emotional, but it was amazing, and it worked out really well for us. So, you know, that again, and I think if I reflect now, I'm like, that was such a good experience and it felt super scary. But after we sold the house, all the things that I'd worried about, that I would be concerned about, they didn't come to fruition. Like, I didn't sit there going, oh, we've done the wrong thing. Oh, you know, I want my house back. Like, I didn't look back. Like I had something else in my mind, and we were moving forward. So, and that was exciting. It wasn't scary or worrying for me. So
now you've sold the house, and I know you were working away last year with loads of feasibilities. You're bringing them along to the Q&A, which is really exciting for us because we get to go through those feasibilities with you. And I think you have actually purchased your next property.
We have bought a house in Canberra again. It was built in the 60s and it's kind of got that modern mid-century feel a little bit to it. It's got some interesting features. It was sort of a completely original house, really small, but in a really great location that we're super excited about. And again, I think, you know, when I saw it, I was like, this feels really good. And, you know, I had the confidence with that feasibility and the work that I'd done in terms of that to go into the auction and the negotiation feeling confident, and that I could say no if it wasn't right. So I think in the past, you know, my purchases have always been really emotional, and it's always been like, oh, I would pay more because I just want it. And you just have those rose-coloured glasses or, you know, your blinkers on. Whereas I think I certainly didn't have that this time, and I felt confident to say, we had gone to a couple of auctions earlier and I said no once we reached what we thought was a reasonable price, and that really, I think, was a good feeling as well. Like I felt like, you know, no, I'm doing this in a way that I feel comfortable with and that there is some thought and it's not just Alex being emotional, because Alex can be quite emotional when Alex wants something that she likes. So, yeah, I think that as well has really, really helped. It did help me immensely in making the decision to buy the house that we've got.
Do you want to run us through a little bit around the vision of that home? So it's a mid-century, it's got a great feel. It does have come with its own challenges though from a design point of view and layout. Roughly talk us through what your vision is for that home and what you're going to add to it.
Yeah, look, so I think it's certainly a family home. You know, we have a family, we know what family life is about. So for me, you know, it's really about bringing something to the market. And on top of this, you know, this may be our family home. Like we're building this for us. It's something that we will be happy to be in and we would absolutely love to be living in, and we'll see how that looks for a while. And I want my family, you know, part of when I sold the house and my family home was like, if we're going to live in this for a while, it needs to feel like our home or something that we're really comfortable to live in as well. So that's kind of been definitely in my thoughts around the design. But we are trying to keep the feel. Obviously, we're looking at modern mid-century, but something that sort of lifts up the already existing features of the house with a really functional extension to the back. So we're working with our designer. She's amazing. She works for Avanti Design House in Canberra, and she's just, when I met with her, she understood what I was trying to say, and I'm not always particularly articulate about what I want in terms of design. Like I have it in my head, but saying it out loud and, you know, showing that to someone else can be quite difficult. She's actually also been amazing to be the person between Andrew and I, because he's very he's very practical and I'm not practical. So we sometimes butt heads on trying to understand what each other are saying. So she's been really great because she's sort of got two hats in terms of that to work through that with us. But, yeah, we're sort of wanting some really amazing features that will stand out on their own in terms of design. So not sort of jam-packing it with all different bits and pieces, but a couple of really key, you know, wow factors basically.
So with that extension, has she helped you create the form and have you prepared a brief for her, or are you guys really still working through that conceptual design and figuring out the form and how those, I like to think of it really simply as shapes, how the shapes sort of fit together?
We are working through that. And basically when I met with her, I was quite clear to sort of say, look, I want to be super involved in this, but I want someone who's got a professional opinion that I can and lean on and be guided by. And she was really open to that. And so I think at the moment we've got a floor plan and we've got sort of that structure basically set in place. There's a couple of little bits and pieces around the garage, which is a bit of a sticking point for us. So we're just still working through those. But the next sort of step for us is to look at some of the facade options and get that sort of mood board and that sort of stuff all really starting to play through and understand what that's going to feel like. So it's exciting because at the moment I've sort of just seen it. She's kept the renders very white because she wants us to sort of focus on the form of it. And, yeah, my head can tend to jump to sort of, oh, show me all the pretty things. So, yeah, being really focused. And I think, you know, I've learned to be much more patient this time, I think, and more considered, which is something that I think is going to help.
Yeah, sometimes, particularly in design, when you're presented with ideas, you do need some time to sit with them and let them really marinate and critically analyze them and come at them from different angles and look at them from a situational point of view at the same time. There's sort of this often this feeling, particularly in buildings, everything needs to be rushed and everything has to happen right now. And that's good for sometimes, but then there are other times where you really do need to do what you're doing and sit with the design and really think about it. Because you've got some challenges on the site in terms of planning around the site. You've got some restrictions in terms of off-street car parking. So getting that flow, right? In every respect, when you're planning your design of your home or you're looking at how your home functions in a formal or spatial way, the way I kind of like to think about it is you have a whole lot of challenges with the home, and it might be the location of the laundry, it could be the location of the garage, it could be the way that you enter, it could be a range of different things. And a good designer will pinpoint these issues and they'll come up with design solutions for each of these problems. And the more developed these ideas are and the more consultation and collaboration that they have with their clients who are the homeowners, the better the design outcome is. It's a real it's a tandem process. And I think a lot of designers will agree that you've got to work with the client to get to really work through those creative roadblocks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's what she keeps saying to us. It's like there's always a couple of options, but it's like this is going to be your home and this is going to be the house that you're doing. So what option works best for you? You know, it's not a case of me just saying I think this is going to look the best, but it's like, well, what function do you need? And let's work through each of those and what that might compromise or what that might gain for you.
Now, one of the ways that I like to end our little chats with developers and builders is to hear from you what some advice might be that you want to pass on to other women who are listening, who are thinking, or who are doing or building or renovating right now. Because as much as Rebecca and I like, we can share as much as we know, but you guys are really going through it right now in this time, in this space. So what was it that you like to share with any of the listeners?
If there's something that you really want to do, you know, build a house, develop a property, like if it's something that you know is the right thing for you, which is how I felt, don't continue to sit on the sideline. Like it may be difficult, like there may be lots and lots of steps that you have to take to get to where you want to be, and they might feel huge. But I think then it's about like, don't just look at it as it's one huge thing that feels out of my reach. Like what are the small steps that I can take? Like, you know, one small step is a lot easier to combat than, you know, oh, I've got to sell my house. Like that's huge and look at all these things. So I think thinking about what are the small steps that you can break that big thing down into so that you can actually start to propel yourself forward towards what it is that you're after. And I think on top of that, for me, it was, you know, surround yourself with people that you can see what you want in them, basically. So actually seeing how people are doing what it is that I wanted to do and practically understanding that and having an opportunity to talk to them about that, that was a huge shift for me. And I think even if you're sitting at home and you don't know how to surround yourself with those people or you don't know people that are on that same page, you know, there's so many podcasts around, there's so many available resources, which, you know, the girls offer a number of those, but use those and surround yourself virtually to start with if that's what you need to do so that you can start to understand how those things look for other people and how you could see it translating to your reality, basically.
I think that's brilliant advice. Fantastic. One of the things we hear from the most, actually, is that often we'll come across women and they'll say, oh, I wish that the Build Her course was around when I was building. Or they'll say, oh, I wish I started my development journey, you know, 5 years ago. Where could I be now? And I think that the thing is that, like you said, Alex, you can surround yourself with what you need to know or people that are doing it right now and you can learn from them. And it reminds me of something I think my dad told me this when I was a little kid. I can't remember. It was my dad or my mum. But I used to play tennis, not very well, but I used to play and we used to have coaching. And, you know, my dad always used to say like, oh, why don't you play with this person? And I'd be like, oh, they're much better than me. And he was like, you know, and I was like, I don't want to lose. And he'd be like, well, you should play with them. And, you know, because they are better than you, you will get better. It's true in anything in life, I suppose, sport, where you want to be, what you want to do. Rebecca and I constantly surround ourselves by people who are doing things that we want to learn more about as well. And it's sort of how we grow and how we get to expand ourselves as well.
Yeah, for me, walking into that masterclass, I felt it was intimidating, like not because of the community or anything, but for me it was like, this feels so different than my reality right now. But the minute I was there and, you know, the people that were there were just amazing, but they didn't care who you were. Like they were happy to have a chat and find out what your story was, and it didn't matter what that story looked like. It was just like, yeah, awesome. Like you're doing so well for you, and it's super, super, you know, supportive of everyone. So I think it does feel big again to sometimes put yourself in a position where you feel like the fish out of water, but there might be three or four other fish out of water in that situation, and you just don't know until you actually do it and just see. What's the worst that can happen is you might feel a little bit burned and, you know, but I certainly didn't feel like that. And I think as your confidence grows in dealing with people and talking about things, that also builds your confidence to keep, yeah, seeking that stuff out.
Yeah, and look how much you've achieved in 1 year. To think that that class or that weekend was in February 2020.
Yeah, almost 12 months ago, yeah.
Pretty much 12 months ago, and, you know, it's spectacular how much you've achieved, how much happened. With the backdrop of everything that's going on in the world right now, I think you and Andrew should be pretty proud of yourselves.
Oh, thank you.
Look, Alex, thank you so much for joining us today. I've had such a fantastic chat with you. And, you know, Alex also sent Rebecca and I just the most nicest text message there over Christmas time. And, you know, it really made my day. So it was really nice to hear from you and everything that you had to say. And just, you know, it's lovely for Rebecca and I to hear from other builders and developers about what's happening in their lives. And let's keep moving forward. Let's keep building together.
Sounds lovely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Building with Buildher. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Buildher with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.